Will we be man pleasers or God pleasers? And it's easy for us to go, oh, I'm going to be a God pleaser, Pastor. I'm a God pleaser. But when the rubber meets the road, are we really going to please God over men?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time here on In Christ, we saw the foundation laid, some rejoicing, others weeping, as God began to fulfill His promise in a way that didn't meet everyone's expectations. We continue in the Building Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. And today we move forward into Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, with a message titled, Opposition and Compromise. As the work begins, opposition quickly follows. People from surrounding areas approach with an offer. Let us help you build. On the surface, it sounds like support, but their hearts are divided. The leaders of Israel recognize this and refuse the partnership. What follows is resistance, discouragement, and pressure. The work of God doesn't just face opposition from the outside. It's often tested by subtle compromise from within. Not every open door is from God. Sometimes faithfulness means saying no to what looks helpful in order to protect what God has called you to build. So are there areas in your life where compromise is quickly or quietly creeping in, disguised as something good, but pulling you away from what God has clearly called you to do? Let's join Pastor Ben in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, with the lesson titled, Opposition and Compromise. Here's Pastor Ben.
Now, for the sake of our study, let me give you 8 quick ways that we can be God-pleasers. 8 quick ways. You ready? Number 1, be honest. Be honest. Be honest with yourself and with others. No matter how hard it is to face the truth, remember, the only person you're cheating is yourself. You and God are the only people that will know what really happened. So don't lie to the person who sacrificed their life for yours. Be honest. Number 2, be humble. Be humble. God's called us to walk in humility. We are nothing. We are nothing. He is everything. Number 3, again, this is a great way to be a God pleaser. Dedicate time for God. Dedicate time for God. We all have 24 hours in the day. What are we giving to God? Just Him. Just Him. If I can be honest with you, we spend a lot more time, guys, we spend a lot more energy on these things than we do here. Number 4, don't change who you are for others. The only reason you should make a change within your life is for God. He would want you to be the best version of yourself. Let me give you 5 quickly. Hold on to your values. Hold on to your values. Don't cave into temptation or evil. Remember that you have morals and values and stick with them. Hold on to your values. Number 6, live every day like it's your last. Live every day like it's your last. Number 7, put others before yourself. Put others before yourself. God sacrificed Himself so that you could have a fulfilled life. So you want to put others before yourself. Number 8, put your faith and trust in Him. In Him. Okay? Think about this. These are 8 ways, quick ways that you and I could just be, I'm going to be a God pleaser. I'm not going to be a man pleaser, but live every day like it's your last. Live every day like it's your last. Notice in our text, guys, this is what Israel did. As it goes on in verse 3, it says this, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel, said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God. Notice what he says. Let me give you the Ben Martinez translation. Nay, 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 nay. Right? Let me give you the Mutombo way. No, 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 not in my house. That's what he's saying. He says, no. Zerubbabel and Joshua goes, no, no, right? You may do nothing, but we alone will build the house. We will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land, notice what they did, tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, until the reign of Darius Persia. Now, think about this. Okay, we're talking about compromise. We're talking about compromising. And so the enemy comes in and he goes, hey, listen, we heard you're here. Welcome. We've been here for the last 70 plus years. We've been here since Judah and Benjamin came out. We're here. We're living among you guys. And notice how they failed to mention that when they came here and started worshiping their gods, that lions came out from everywhere and it was eating some of them. And they're like, okay, we need to do something. And so they come up and they start wanting to compromise. How? By infiltrating, by coming in. Think about our adversary. Think about Satan. Satan, he opposes the church. He attacks us. He does all these things. But more importantly, he destroys a church by joining the church. He comes in. And what does he do? He starts sowing discord among the people. Oh, sure. And that's not what God's called us to be like. God's called us to walk in unity. God's called us to lift each other's up. God calls us to be humble. God calls us to love people back to life, not to. I heard one pastor say this: God, sometimes in the church, God subtracts. Sometimes God adds. Sometimes he multiplies, but he never divides. He never divides, does he? That's not God's heart. We divide. How? By allowing the enemy to come in. And it should be for you and I. It should be for you and I. It should be for you and I to never allow the enemy to use us, to be used by the enemy to bring and allow discord among the brethren. I never want to go home and go, wow, I was used by Satan to bring destruction to the church. How sad. We're to bring unity. We're to walk humbly. We're to serve and love each other. Yeah, Pastor Brooke, No. We trust God. You and I both know there are a lot of churches out there that are not on the level. But God knows it too, doesn't he? God knows it too. And he's going to take care of it. But he's so merciful and so wonderful and so graceful and so loving that he's praying and hoping that they'll repent. These charlatans who get on TV and ask for money and want to devour widows' retirement for the sake of having an airplane and all that stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. Repent. Repent. But I like here in verse 3. You go, what did verse 3 say? He says, Zerubbabel and Jeshua gathered the leadership, and they said, no, sir. You may do nothing with us to build the house of our... How did they know? How did they know? They were in tune with God. They were in tune with God. One of the biggest stories that breaks my heart, church, do you guys remember in the book of Joshua, right? The Gibeonites. Joshua's there. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Joshua had walked around Jericho, right? He didn't. He'd just walk around we win. And then that was pretty good, wasn't it? That's pretty good. Lord, there's a little town called Ai. It's not very big. Me and Preach will go. We'll go. We don't need all you guys. We don't need all y'all, but we'll go. And remember, Joshua wasn't in tune all the way with God. And so what happened is Ai comes back, wipes them out. He's like, and then realizes, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. And so then they take Ai, just like God said. But the problem was, is here come the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites, if you recall, they looked the part. They looked like they had been walking forever. And they're like, we're your servants, Joshua. Please make a covenant with us. Our bread is moldy. You guys know the story in the book of Joshua. And Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. And he made a covenant with them. and then realized the next plan of attack was, wait, what? What? Use your Holy Spirit discernment when it comes to the people that hang around you. Not all of them are Christians. Oh, we just want to worship with you. No, I'll tell you what. Look for people that are pushing you towards Jesus. That's who you want to hang out with. Push. Hey, and when you blow it, they're encouraging you. They're encouraging you. They're loving you back. Oh, yeah, you know, no, that was me. I blew it. Oh, it may seem fun that the world wants to pull us out there. Da, 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 da. Now, come on, let's go Friday night. We're going to be out here. Psh, 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 psh. No, you know what? Go, no. Guys, listen, you may do nothing. We're going to build. We'll build the Lord, the God of Israel. We're going to do it. How did they know? How did they know they were in tune with God? They were in tune with God. I'll tell you what, let's go back and look at this really quick. I mean, think about this, okay? They were honest. Lord, we're back in the land. We don't know what we're doing. You've called us back here after 70 years. Lord, we're honest with you. How cool is that? They were humble. They didn't have anything. Guys, they didn't go back to their houses. They didn't go back to their three-car garages and all this stuff. They went back to rubble. They had to start over. They were humble. But think about the 900-mile journey from Babylon all the way back to... These were times when they dedicated time for God. Let's take some time to dedicate to God. They came into the land. They didn't change who they... What do you mean they didn't change who they are for others? Well, they could have came in and said, look, we've been in Babylon. We've learned the custom of Babylon. We'll be a little bit of Babylonian here. We'll be a little bit of Assyrian here. We'll be a little bit. They didn't say that. They go, we know who we are. And you know who you are too. You're fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's who you are. Guys, one of the prayers this week is to pray and know our own identity, our identity in Christ. They didn't compromise to these guys because think about that. They were holding on to the values. Oh, no. It might have been 70 years plus, but they held on to the values. They knew the worship of the temple. They knew the foundation. What is God doing? He's building the foundation in them. He's building that foundation in them so that they would have and hold on to their values. Going back, what did they do? They were living every day like it was their last. How? They didn't know what was going to happen. They're setting out to do a good thing. They're setting out to build and rebuild the temple. Nehemiah is going to set out and rebuild the walls, and there's opposition. You didn't know. A trowel in one hand and a spear in the other. Okay, because these are fighting words. But they lived every day like it's their last. They put others before themselves. Watch out for your neighbor. Watch out. Check on your neighbor. And you know what? Most importantly, guys, this is how they knew. This is how Zerubbabel, this is how the heads knew. They put their faith and trust in God. Okay, God, you brought us here. Your word is true. Your word is true. So what happened? Well, it would be nice if in verse 4, the enemies went home. Well, Bob, you're not going to cave. Okay. That's not what they do they? What does it say they do? And the people of the land try to discourage the people. That's the first thing the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to discourage you. You're not a real believer. You're messed up. You're not going to make it. You've done this, and you get so discouraged. You know why you get discouraged, church? Because you forget that you're part of a body, and everybody's kind of going through the same thing, and you can have encouragement that way. Wait a minute. You've gone through this? Oh, I didn't realize this. Why? You know what they're going to do in the book of Nehemiah? They're going to send a letter, and they're going to try to get Nehemiah alone in the Valley of Ono. That's what they're going to try to do. Sanballat, Tobiah, hey, come out here. And you know what? You know what Nehemiah says? Oh, no, I'm not going. That's what the enemy does with you. He tries to isolate you alone. That's why midweek services are so important. We're fed the word of God. We're with the brethren. You can pray and encourage people this way. Nope. They troubled them in building. You know what foundation you're building? You're building the temple of God inside your life to stand strong when the winds come and the rains come. And what are they going to do? They're going to trouble you in building. Oh, no. Don't spend time with God, Raina. Don't spend. Listen, you did that yesterday. You had a great time. You're fine. The enemy tries to convince us, church, that if we just spend a few minutes a day, maybe reading our Bible or listening to a worship song, that's gonna give us the greatest foundation we need. And it's not. Verse 5 says they hired counselors. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the day. To frustrate, can you imagine?
Wow.
The enemy is trying to frustrate your purpose. That's what the enemy's trying to do. Next week, church, we're going to see a little bit more about this opposition. These people right here don't like the answer. They came in going, hey, we want to help you build. Hey, we're Christians. Hey, we're with you. And Israel goes, nope. And they're going like, we don't like that answer. We don't like that answer. Israel says, no, you're not going to do anything. Basically, they're saying, you guys are a bunch of posers. We got this. We're called to build it. We alone will build the house. And of course, guess what? That heated them up. Know this. Take this with you to the bank. Tonight, when you say, no, I belong to Jesus Christ, I'm going to keep on plowing forward, the enemy goes, okay, they're going to turn up the heat in our lives. And it's not to discourage you. It's not to go, oh my goodness, I'm already being attacked. This is already, you know what it's for? It's for you to go, okay, I get it. I'm ready. I want to read you verse 3 in the Good News Bible, Ezra chapter 4, verse 3. It said, Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the heads of the clan said to them, here you go, ready? Quote, we don't need your help to build the temple for the Lord our God. We will build it ourselves, just as Cyrus, the emperor of Persia, commanded us. That's what they said. We'll do it ourselves. Now, we learn that Israel wants to please God more than their neighbors. Can I get an amen? But if we're being honest, there are times in our lives that individuals will compromise their walks and they don't recover. You go, what do you mean? Well, as we get ready to close, okay, let's say goodbye. Let's say goodnight to Ezra tonight. And I want you to learn the lesson from Solomon. There are times when people compromise and don't recover. King Solomon, you remember him? He succeeded his father David, is known in the Bible history as one of the wisest men that ever lived. Solomon directly, he knew God, guys. He knew God, and actually, God spoke to him, and he was blessed by God. The problem is that later on, he compromised the truth with the pagan trash. He may well have been talking about himself in Ecclesiastes 4:13, with better is the poor and the wise youth than an old and foolish king who will no longer take advice. Solomon's example is a lesson for all of us, for that compromise with what God says is right and acceptable can carry a very high price. I had you turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's read it together, guys. 1 Kings 11 verse 1 says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. So what is he saying? Solomon had a lot of women. He loved a lot of women. From the nations of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Why, Lord? Surely they will turn your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. You know what his first mistake was? Disobeying God. God says, "Hey, don't listen. There's a price to pay for this, Solomon." Verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. That's a lot of mother-in-laws. And his wives, notice this, and his wives turned his heart away. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And look at this. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord God, as was the heart of his father David. I don't know about you, but you can put a sad face right there because they turned his heart from serving God. For Solomon went after who? Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. And so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Solomon blew it, man. How did he blew it? He blew it through compromise. He didn't recover. The Lord told the Israelites not to get involved with his many wives. And his many wives led him to worshiping idols. And Solomon may have not outright rejected the true God. He did continue to worship him, but he also compromised the truth. How? By tolerating all sorts of paganism at the same time. Being the wisest man that ever lived, his weak and foolish judgment resulted in a very dire consequences for the kingdom of Israel, which has affected the world right to this present day. You go, Pastor, your point. You ready? Let us learn the lesson. What is it? Don't compromise your walk with God. Stay true to his word. Amen. Lord, tonight, five verses, so much here. We thank you. We love you, God. Forgive us if we compromise. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, forgive us. May your Holy Spirit come and bring much needed conviction. Father, if we're flirting with the world, convict us. If we're compromising in little things, convict us. If our compromise, Lord, involves anything that is going to lure us away from you, bring it to our heart right now. May we confess it and leave it here tonight. Father, we don't necessarily have an altar, but if we can leave these things here at the foot of the cross, Lord, and ask your forgiveness. Father, forgive us of our attitudes. Forgive us when we're prideful. Forgive us when we feel like we're okay and we don't value you more than anything. Let us not lower our principles and our values for something we think is better. That's compromise. Let us run to you, Lord. That's what church is all about, is running to you tonight and laying our burdens at your feet. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.